merely reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
This is Mike Lytle, host of The Real Deal and the home of Chicken Man. Every Friday night, you're listening to Mike J on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Come on and get down. like how it was. Love, peace, and understanding. Right. One God, one voice, one life. Right. One man, one shine, my light. Life. Unite, I hop up and do it right. Right. Unite, I'm on and do it right. Life. Yeah, that's what I like. Yeah, baby.
My people.
Yeah,
black people. Black people. My people. Black people. My people.
And you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. This is Changing Narratives with Brother Jay. Want to welcome everyone to another program. If you're listening to us on 90.1 in Kansas City, January weather here in KC, man, you know, we were freezing. Now that, you know, we've gotten the temperatures above freezing and the snow has melted away, you see there's still green grass. And so for those folks that have allergies, you're having problems in January in Kansas City. It's crazy. No telling what this weather is going to be like over these next couple of weeks. So it looks like it's going to warm up. And if you're listening to us on KKFI.org, wherever you're at, hope you're having a great weekend and not having any weather incidents wherever you are at. But we have a great program planned out today. We have a guest in studio, Miss Terry Moore Barnes is here. And of course, we have our resident educator, Brother Brown, in studio. And of course, our assistant on the board, Jalen, is in studio as well. And so here on Changing Narratives, we've been talking about literacy, you know, over the last year or so. We were fortunate enough to have Polly Hart, the previous executive director from Lead to Read, on a program last year. And, you know, there's really not any nice way to say how bad the literacy rates are here in Kansas City, but also across this nation. And so, you know, this is going to be a continuation of a conversation that we're having here on Changing Narratives, and hopefully that can lead to some action in our community. And so Terry Moore Barnes has been on the show before, but I do want to reintroduce you to our audience. Terry, for anyone who may not know, has been a tireless literacy advocate in our community for quite some time. And back in December of 2023, was named the interim executive director over at Lead to Read KC. And for anyone who may not know what Lead to Read KC is, it is an organization that was started back in 2011 by two former teachers, Lynn and Gene Rundle, who decided to attack what they noticed as a problem in the community in terms of kids just not knowing how to read, and then the problems that that leads to later on. And so they started this organization, Lead to Read, and over the last decade or so, they've done a lot of good work. And so, you know, the marriage of Lead to Read, KC, and Terry Moore Barnes is one that hopefully will lead to some moving of the needle on these literacy rates, you know, with the help of all of us here in the community. So welcome back to the program, Ms. Terry. It's so good to have you here with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be back.
Yes, definitely. So, you know, for our audience, in your role now at Lead to Read, if you kind of just want to tell us, you know, how that came about, you know, if you were working with the program before, and, you know, just briefly, and then we can move into the work that you're doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of a funny story. about a year and a half ago, I started working with a team of people from my church to address the literacy problem. And we decided that we needed to develop some type of tutoring program for the kids within our church. And in an effort not to duplicate resources, we wanted to go out and interview and talk to everybody in our community that was already in this space. So we reached out to Lead to Read, we reached out to Katina Taylor and Dreams, we reached out to the Phoenix Family Foundation, mm-hmm. and everybody that we could think of that had a reading program, just have a conversation about what's going on with reading, because we just didn't like the numbers that we were seeing. We didn't understand why we couldn't get more of a lift after so many years of all of these organizations and all of this focus on literacy. You know, Sly James had turned the page, and we, I think as a I say as a regular person, as a community member, mm-hmm. it's hard to wrap your mind around. It's like reading. Why is that so hard? What is so hard about reading?
Right.
And so very long story short, we took 8 months and we developed a reading program that could be used inside of our church. We went out and partnered with UMKC to identify an assessment so that we could assess all of the kids in our church to find out what grade level they were on. And through a series of relationships, I ended up on the phone with Eric Graham,
okay.
who is the board chair for Lead to Read. Polly Hart, she submitted her resignation back in October, I believe. And we were just having a conversation. And he said something to the effect of, I'm sure you would be interested in this, but we would love to have you consider coming on board as the interim while okay. we look for a new executive director. And I really shocked myself because I said, you know what? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because okay. I really wanted to get inside the sector and really try to better understand what in the world is happening. So that's really how it happened. I was driving my car. We got on a phone call. He asked me that question, and I couldn't believe that I said yes.
Right.
And a few months later, and here I am.
Okay. And mm-hmm. so you go home to your wonderful husband, and you tell him, you know what? I've added something else to my plate.
And not just to my husband, to my board at the DIA Project, to my church, all these other groups and organizations. But uh-huh. I tell everybody all the time, because people keep saying, are you sure you don't want the job? Are you sure? I am very clear. Mm-hmm. This is not my space from a leadership perspective, but I am passionate as a community member that I want this fixed.
Right.
So I want to do whatever I can in the interim to A, make sure that we get a dynamic leader, a collaborative leader, a leader who can help engage this entire community. I feel like, in a way, teachers and administrators and school districts, although they've been sounding the alarm, they've really been doing all the fighting by themselves.
Yes.
And I think that there is a place for parents and community groups and neighborhood associations and business leaders and barbershops. We are in a crisis. These babies cannot read.
Yes. Well, and I think that, you know, a part of having this conversation is we have to decide what sort of a society and a culture we want to have. And whether or not, just as we decided that having health care was a fundamental right,
yes.
I think what we're tussling with right now relative to public education is, mm-hmm. is public education mm-hmm. a fundamental right? Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I don't think a lot of folks in our society recognize the benefits mm-hmm. of all of us being educated. Mm-hmm. And so we're fighting this on several fronts mm-hmm. because I do believe that when we look at these literacy results, I don't believe that they're just by accident. Mm-hmm. There have been things that have been put in place, barriers that have gotten us here. And so just as I believe that there's been intention on the other side, I believe that, like I said, by putting this information out and having these conversations, we have to be intentional with our behavior and with what we're doing for our children and a part of the work that you've taken on, mm-hmm. You know, and what, like I said, I commend you for yeah. doing so.
Yeah, and you're spot on. And as you were talking, you know, because I'm also on the Mayor's Commission for Reparations. So as you were talking,
yes.
I think this is a perfect example when you look at education, why the reparations discussion is so important. Because this is not about really one-on-one tutoring.
No.
You know, this is a systemic, ongoing for many, many, many years. You can see the data. You can see the numbers. And as I have begun to say in some circles, it's criminal.
Well,
because we know what it takes to teach a kid to read.
Yes.
That's not rocket. We know what that is.
Yes.
So the question becomes, how do we get to a place to where, and I'm going to look at my notes real quick. How do we get to a place to where in the Kansas City Public School District, only 13% of students are proficient?
Yeah, well, like you said, when you have folks that are wanting to ban books, you know, in Florida, they pulled the dictionary mm-hmm. out of mm-hmm. the library. And so once again, you know, how we get here,
yeah.
I, I contend that it has been very intentional, and there have been things that have been put in place, and you know, this is a part of it. And so I do kind of want to talk to our audience and kind of demystify when we talk about literacy and what that means, because I think also folks think that just being able to read constitutes literacy, and that's not what we're talking about. When we're talking about being able to read and comprehend and then also take action. And so it's a little bit more complicated, because then when you get into the numbers of those folks who are functionally literate, it's even more disturbing in a country that has this much wealth. You know?
So just because you said it, and my mind is, I'll forget this, I'm going to share this and we can go back to your question. I just had a conversation last week with a teacher who is in a charter school. And I want to be really clear. I always say Kansas City, Missouri School District because it's just our public school system. But if you think you're in Raytown or you're in a charter school, if you think your kids are faring any better, I would encourage you to really check it out, because they probably are not. Because it's a significant, and it's not just black and brown kids. That was the other thing. I mean, our kids are at the bottom, but white kids are not doing great. I mean, this is a problem that just, it's insidious across the school system, period.
Absolutely. And to your point, because according to the U.S. Department of Education, 68% of U.S. fourth graders are below optimal reading level. Yeah. That's all of our kids.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I'm looking at the stats for third grade literacy here in the state of Missouri. So they have a Kansas City region. And I'm going to go ahead and lump basic and below basic together.
And that would probably be wise when we know how the funding is tied to the test score.
I mean, you know, if I was looking for a contractor, I wouldn't choose the basic or below basic contractor.
Well, and then you're not going to cheat down.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
If you're going to slant the numbers, you're going to slant them in your favor.
So if we're looking at the Kansas City region, we got 57% at the basic and below basic level. And then you look at South Central, they're at 51%.
And you're talking about South Central Missouri.
South Central Missouri.
Okay.
You look at Southeast Missouri, they're at 58.5% with those two stats combined. Mm-hmm. So again, and this is third grade, you know, reading, and what we know from grades 1 through 3, 1 through 4, you go to school to learn to read, to learn how to count, and from that point on, you're using those tools to learn. Mm-hmm. And that becomes the disconnect. And a lot of this is that we continue to put on more information and expectations, and we haven't mastered the basics. I had one kid in for tutoring last week, seventh grade. She's doing algebra. Again, we didn't get algebra till high school. Now they're doing it at middle school. And so this is a chance to remediate. Now, she was okay with the algebraic concepts with the very beginning, but she could multiply, but she was still kind of counting on her fingers to do stuff. And it's like, well, see, that's a problem for me. And this, you know, she's capable.
Yes.
But we need to fine tune those basic skills before we continue to lump other things on. And I think that's one of the biggest things, especially with kids that are coming in and showing up every day.
Right.
You know, no reason for that.
There's two examples I want to share with you all that I've had just since I've been at Lead to Read. One of the things that the board asked me to do during my interim period is just talk to people in the community, teachers, administrators, parents, just to get a sense, A, of what they thought about Lead to Read, what they thought about literacy, what their ideas were. I had a conversation last week with a teacher at a high school, and he said that he is working functional literacy. I was like, what is functional literacy? And the example he gave me was, because the kids are so far behind. Now, of course, Lead to Read is third grade and below. And you will notice most conversations you hear about in Kansas City is all targeting early education, which makes sense because that's where you get that fundamental. But I keep saying, but what are we doing with every kid fourth grade through 12?
Yes.
Can't throw them away.
You can't throw them away, but everybody is talking about three and below. So he's telling me about this kid, and he's doing functional literacy. I'm like, what is functional literacy? He said, well, you know, like when you see the yellow M, he will know that means McDonald's, even though he might not be able to know that if you wrote McDonald's, that's what it says.
Yes.
I just about fell out. I was like, what?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I've watched students who can't spell certain things, and then, like, you know, we're looking up something on YouTube or on the internet, and then it's going to auto-populate.
Yes.
So I don't have to know how to spell it. I can just put in the very beginning, and then eventually, you know, again, now, you know, when you're writing a document, it's going to suggest stuff for you. And so...
And AI is taking it to a whole other
So you can level. Easily be functional.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sorry, we are up against our first break. Uh-oh. So if you are just tuning in, you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Changing Narratives with Brother Jay, and we'll be right back after this quick break.
What time is it? It's a good time. Thursday mornings from 12 to 2 a.m., DJ Flow, which is I, presents to you Astral Connection. Astral Connection is a powerful array of sonic expressions to help you move, groove, and smooth out the unintentional bumps in life. So as Wednesday slips into Thursday, tune into your favorite radio station and escape with me into the Astral Connection.
Join us Sunday, February 4th at Mike Kelly's Westsider for a Valentine's Day gift showcase benefiting KKFI. Live music by Tracer Heights. Opening act by Brittany McGee. 9 different local vendors and food and beverages. Once again, Sunday, February 4th from 1 to 5 p.m. at Mike Kelly's Westsider, a Valentine's Day gift showcase benefiting KKFI.
And you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Changing Narratives with Brother Jay, and that was Circumstance by my man Wayman Tisdale. And before we went to break, we were talking about, Marcus was offering some examples of what we're talking about as far as the literacy gaps. And I do want to come back to Lead to Read and their focus. And one of the things when we're talking about it's affecting all of our kids. In Kansas City public and charter schools, only 20% of third graders are reading at grade level. And so when we start talking about Lead to Read and its focus, you know, for our audience that may not know, you guys focus on first grade through third grade, providing reading mentors. Mm-hmm. So talk to our audience about the work that you all are currently doing.
Yeah, so 3 days a week we send in, we have over 1,500 volunteers across 29 schools. And we go in on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday and work with a kid one-on-one for 30 minutes over the lunch hour. And we've been doing that, you know, for many, many years. And it's a wonderful program. The teachers love to see us coming. The kids love to see. I've had the opportunity to observe at various different schools. And it is just a heartfelt, feel-good experience when you hear the mentors talk about how far their kid has come mm-hmm. from the beginning of the school year to where they are today. But the question in that is,
yes,
it's not moving the needle in reading ability.
Okay.
So there's a significant focus on social-emotional, right? Building self-esteem, helping you have more discipline in the classroom,
mm-hmm.
being encouraging and supportive. Not to say that your child isn't picking up some abilities along the way,
mm-hmm.
but Lead to Read is not teaching children to read. And so when you look at the organization's history over 12 years, it feels great. We've got, I think over 25,000 books.
Mm-hmm.
We partner with authors to go into school districts so the children will see people that look like them that have written books. But when you look at our scores, those kids are not, I shouldn't say those kids, but overall, mm-hmm. it's not having the impact that we would want to have across our community.
Okay.
And so, again, one of the reasons that I was very interested in the opportunity, again, the board chair, when we talked about it, he mentioned two things. He said, we have an issue with diversity. Mm-hmm. And that was important to me because I knew from the interview I had with him a year before, 100% of the leadership team was white.
Okay.
And, of course, the majority of the kids that they service are black or brown.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a concern for me. And then the other one was, we feel good about what we do. Is it enough?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have an opportunity to stretch ourselves or leverage ourselves and really get into the space to where we can say we are helping to move the needle with reading?
Okay.
So with those two things, I was like, I'm on board.
Okay. And so you haven't been there quite a month. Yet
14, 15 days.
Right. And so for you, you know, what would success look like in the short term
mm-hmm.
for you in your capacity, not to impact the numbers,
mm-hmm.
you know, because
mm-hmm.
that's something down the line.
Mm-hmm.
But something as simple as increasing the diversity
yeah.
Among the board.
Yeah.
Because like you said, getting reading mentors and folks at that level mm-hmm. is one thing. Mm-hmm. But folks that are at the decision-making level, how do you impact that?
Mm-hmm. I don't know that I will be able to impact that in the short term. Mm-hmm. What is satisfying to me is that the board is already doing that work.
Okay.
Looking to diversify the board, looking to diversify the leadership staff.
Mm-hmm.
And we are thinking about how to best diversify even the mentors and the site coordinators. Part of the problem is during the lunch hour, and a lot of black folks, they don't have the luxury to leave work and come back in 1 hour and do these volunteer things.
That was
However, uh-huh. because of the crisis it is,
mm-hmm.
this is where I believe business community should step up and give persons the opportunity to serve. For 3 months, for 6 months, for 1 year, whatever it is, so that we can really do a lift
mm-hmm.
and have people that are coming into the program that look like those kids. I have to tell you a funny story. As an interim, normally I don't go out and do the buddy thing, mm-hmm. but I did it because I wanted to have that experience.
Right.
And again, I am just floored. I'll tell you a quick story. Last week, I participated in Front Porch Alliance's RISE program. During the week of Martin Luther King, they go into many, many schools and they read a book that has to do with action, mm-hmm. advocacy and action. So the lady who was supposed to do it couldn't. So I said, well, I'm not afraid of fifth graders, I'll do it. So I went to this fifth grade class to read a book that I was fine. But when I tell you, I was almost in tears when I got to my car. These were fifth grade students. Their writing skills, you asked about literacy earlier, and people, when you think about reading, you only think about reading.
Yes.
But this particular exercise required me to read the book to them, for them to listen to some comprehension, and then they're supposed to write a letter to the mayor. That was the project.
Mm.
So as I walked around the class, collected papers, spelled words, I was just horrified. I mean, these were fifth grade students and they were asking me how to spell trash. Mm. These are fifth grade students who, there was a student under the teacher's desk. Fifth grade.
Right.
Under the teacher's desk. There were two students on a beanbag together, covered up like they were sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
they had the little iPads, and I thought, okay, they're probably doing academics. But of course, I go over to the iPads, and they're playing the games. Right. It was just, it's not your old school classroom.
That's right, right.
And then the most, I won't say the most disturbing thing, but the other thing that was very disturbing, it was two Hispanic, entire room, black kids. It was two Hispanic girls sitting over to the side. I walked over to them to see how I could assist them. And I asked the young lady a question, and the other kid said, oh, she doesn't understand English. No, she doesn't speak English. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, can she understand me? And she said, no, she can't understand you either. I said, so she doesn't understand English and she doesn't speak English? She said, no, she's just been here 3 weeks. She's from Guatemala. After I finish my assignment, I'm going to help her with her assignment. Fifth grade.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's...
So that was very disturbing to me. And I don't even know what to do with it.
Right. Well,
I don't even know what to do with that, because when I went back and shared it with my Lead to Read folks, that's across
the district. It's more common than you would imagine. Wow. Wow. And I'm sorry, we are now 31 minutes past the hour of 5 o'clock. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. This is Changing Narratives with Brother Jay and our guest, Terry Moore Barnes. And we have Brother Brown in studio as well. And we are talking about this literacy crisis, not just in Kansas City, but across this nation, but specifically here in Kansas City, because we do have things that we can do. And, you know, like you said, trying to move the needle is going to require all of our efforts. Mm-hmm. And so back to your point, because my intention was to become a reading mentor, but my employer was not one that mm-hmm. provided that time. So, you know, that went out the window. So in the meantime, mm-hmm. what other things can folks do to contribute if you're not able to become a reading mentor? Are there things that are available that they can do on the weekends to help out? You know, mm-hmm. what other roles are there available?
You know, through you mean overall or through Lead to Read?
Through Lead to Read specifically. But then we can also include, like you said, because I did want to also talk about the work you're doing with the Literacy Council mm-hmm. and those meetings. And so, yes, specifically at Lead to Read, if there's not anything, then yeah, in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Lead to Read's program is purely Monday through Friday okay. during that lunch hour. We really don't have any programs outside of that. Mm-hmm. And that's one of, I'm excited, though, because I think that the board is open to, when you think about an expansion, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. What I would tell people to do is just grab their niece, nephew, neighbor, church kid, whoever kid, whenever you're around any kid in any district, and it doesn't have to be, I want to see if you can read, but you want to see if they can read.
Right.
Because no, I think we just teach, yeah. I think we just assume mm-hmm. because our kids are walking around and they're sharp tennis and shoes and getting A's and B's
mm-hmm.
that they can read.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I would say is they may be able to read because things are written on what, sixth grade level, right?
Yes.
So just because they can read doesn't mean they're reading on grade level. Again, because part of my task with this is to talk to different folks. I talked to an instructional coach, and she said the average of her 12th grade students was third grade reading level.
Mm-hmm.
Third grade. Can they graduate? Yes. Can they get a job? Yes. But how would you like to be, if that was your patient advocate at the hospital, third right. grade level?
Right. Well, like you said, in 2020, according to the U.S. Department of Education, 54% of adults in the United States have English prose literacy below sixth grade level. And so, yeah. like you said, this is a layered problem.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, again, what you said about the people around you, because I ask people this, you know, because I personally don't remember learning how to read.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember getting progressively better
mm-hmm.
Because I was reading before I went to school. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't mean like, you know,
right.
I wasn't like Cat Williams reading.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But we had books in the house,
right, right,
you know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right.
We got the encyclopedias, and then right. we had children's encyclopedias. So mm-hmm. we were reading before we went to school. And mm-hmm. then, so again, that was just that thing. It's like, and so it's hard for me to imagine, you know, where are these kids not getting these opportunities? But
I'm hearing examples where children don't even know how to turn the pages of a book. because they don't see a book until they get into school. So we really are talking about a family structure and dynamic changes. Mm-hmm. There used to be, you know, before, back when I was growing up, before you went to kindergarten, you better know your name. You could count to 20. You knew your colors. There were just certain things that you knew. And now clearly children are coming to the classroom unprepared. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult because you've got teachers who are, you know, if I'm a sixth grade teacher, I want to teach sixth grade.
Yes.
Well, if you missed all these elements along the way, and here's the other thing that we're learning, and I struggle with this a little bit too, but what we have been told or what's out here now is that you graduate, you go to school to teach, you are never taught how to teach reading. Mm-hmm. So our teachers are not prepared.
Yes.
They haven't been trained to teach the science of reading.
Mm-hmm.
So the state of Missouri now, and I don't know if it's a year or two ago, but they now are paying for the lower level teachers to take something called letters training.
Mm.
And letters training teaches them the science of reading because they got to get it to the babies. But here's the thing. That's 2 years. It takes 2 years to go through letters training. So what are we doing
in the meantime? Of the,
You know, so it is. It's complicated.
Yes.
And one last point I want to make on that is I feel in all of our research and in all of our conversations, you constantly hear people say parents are key. I agree with that 100%. But I also don't think that we've done a good job of supporting parents and giving parents what they need where we are right now. Parents don't know what to do. We saw that in the pandemic.
Yes.
So so we point our fingers and we wag at parents, but we really haven't provided them support as to what they can do. And we really don't have the relationships to do it because, unfortunately, most parents and the school that their child attend, they don't necessarily have this loving relationship. I'm coming up bringing my kid to school because I got to bring my kid to school.
Right.
But I don't necessarily, you know, we're not having kumbaya moments.
Yeah, and to your point, you know, especially in Kansas City, you know, working in telecommunications, corporate hasn't been helpful at all. And so the idea that, you know, parents, when we talk about parents being available to go to parent-teacher conferences or just to be able to leave work and deal with the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so to your point about there being some corporate responsibility, that's always something, a question I've had. So who do you think can put pressure? I know politically you should be able to exert some sort of pressure, but, you know, to convince these corporations that it's in their long-term benefit to have an educated, employable workforce in your city. And so that's the thing where it's like, how do we close that gap?
Mm-hmm. I think they know it.
Oh, I think they absolutely know.
And I think
know
they're
it.
All seeing it because as they try to hire folk, when I left the Federal Reserve Bank in 2021, before I left, we added a week or two onto our training because we were seeing so many people. A Federal Reserve Bank. So I'm not talking about some little piddly job.
Yes.
Federal Reserve Bank. These people coming in the door didn't have a basic set of skills that we had to go back and train before we could train them what we needed them to do at the Federal Reserve Bank. So it's costing employers money.
Absolutely. I mean, you're having to teach folks the difference between Pacific time.
Good example.
Central time.
Good example.
You know, I had a girl ask me one time, you know, was California on the West Coast? You know, and I'm thinking just she's joking, really.
Basic,
you know what I mean?
Knowledge.
Yeah, just basic geography. And at the time, you know, she was 24, 25 years old. And so even the idea of what a high school diploma and what it means, and when we were talking earlier about what proficient means, you know, like you said, we have to dig in with our kids and move beyond this looking at their grade cards because a lot of our kids that are getting A's and B's are simply getting participation trophies. And so we got to get involved.
And we also have to get, we also have to be advocates for parents who don't know how to advocate for themselves. People who are locked into poverty and locked into these poor schools that don't have other options and other places to go, they need advocates as well because they don't always know what the best thing is, what the right approach is. And if we all do what we do and keep moving, because my kid is okay, it leaves the school district at a really bad place. And so one of the things that I do outside of Lead to Read is host a monthly literacy session at the YMCA. It's the fourth Thursday of every month for an hour and a half. We just had it this past Thursday. And was really lucky because two additional people came. It was seven of us total. It's mm-hmm. normally four, so we're growing. But it was seven of us total. But one of them was a teacher that taught autistic kids for 30 years. Mm. And it was so interesting that his experience with autistic kids almost mirrored some of the conversation Perfect. We're having with, you know, I don't say, but just traditional students. Mm-hmm. Same challenges. So it was just really powerful to have him in there because we're not even talking about children with developmental right. disorders. And I can't imagine what their status is.
Right, right. And I'm sorry, we are up against our second break. So if you're just tuning in, you are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Changing Narratives with Brother Jay, and we'll be right back after this quick break.
I don't know what second racism is.
What is bigotry?
I don't know what bigotry is.
What does hatred mean?
I don't know what it is.
What is prejudice?
I think it's when somebody's sick.
Let's play every Wednesday at noon, Radio Nico Pisa.
KKFI is moving into the future with a new schedule in early 2024. We will be addressing new shows to all your old favorite programs, new voices, new people, new stories, new topics, and fresh new music. Reflecting the richness of our local and world communities, stay tuned and check out the even wider breadth of what KKFI has to offer.
Play that for me.
And you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. That was a little bit of California Dreaming by Queen Latifah. Man, you know, she's always been one of my favorites, just a great artist. And this CD that she released back in 04 had some jazz standards on it, and her version of California Dreamin' is one of my favorites. And so
yeah, man,
on this cold winter's day.
Well, you know, man, I appreciate that. Yeah. You know, because this one went right under my radar. So
I have
to dig into that.
Definitely. And so before we went to break, you were talking about the meetings that you have every fourth Thursday over at the Linwood YMCA from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. With the Literacy Council. And you guys have just been kind of getting together and brainstorming and thinking of solutions. And that's one of the things that I love about you. You are definitely a woman of action, not just identifying a problem, but bringing a solution to it. So once again, for folks that may want to get involved with the Literacy Council, how can they do that?
Literacy Council, you can come to one of the meetings, or you can certainly just send me an email.
Okay.
We'll put you on the list, as send you a reminder. And what you just said is exactly what it is we're trying to do. We're trying to get the community, number one, raise awareness.
Yes.
Because I don't believe this community understands how bad it is. They know it's bad.
Right.
They don't know how bad. And I think if people understood how bad it was, they would say, what can I do to help?
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, in our own homes, being that example, if you're a grandparent, an auntie, an uncle, you know, get your niece, a nephew, a book, and sit down and read it with them. Mm-hmm. You know, and as a parent, it's so important for your kids to see you reading beyond being on your telephone.
That's right.
I'm not an audiobook person. Mm-hmm. I'm a person that likes to have something in hand and that I can mark up and all of those types of things. But I know for me, unlike Marcus, like, so my sister, I had a sister that's 3 years older than me. Mm-hmm. And so I remember very vividly her sitting me down when I was like 3-4 years old, like, you're going to know how to read before you get to kindergarten.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're going to be and you know, ahead of the children, the other kids in the neighborhood. And she was very intentional.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and then growing up, my mother had a bookshelf in her room, and there were always books to look at. And, you know, my grandmother was always reading. And so that just
you
was an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And so, like you said, we become our habits.
That's right.
And so, unfortunately, reading has kind of gone by the wayside in general. And so that's what we kind of have to get back to.
That's right.
And understanding, once again, what's happening on the other side is not by accident.
Mm-hmm.
When we start talking about literacy rates and among prison population.
70%
illiterate.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's
the tide of violence,
everything. And so, like you said, we sociology is the study of human behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that, like you said, by third grade, if you don't know how to read, the likelihood of you finishing high school is, you know,
diminishing.
And so, like you said, this is a problem. And I think there's where the disconnect is how do we all take ownership of this problem and understand how it affects us all. You know, I think that turning our society into, you know, over criminalizing everything and being comfortable with me spending more money on jails than we do in education.
That's right.
You know, these are the pathologies that we've accepted.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, it's going to take all of our efforts to change that.
Yeah, something you said earlier, we've been talking about a citywide literacy campaign of some sort where everybody's engaged, everybody's involved. It's at the city level. It's at the civic council level. It's at the KC chamber level. Nobody escapes the responsibility to try to address this reading challenge. And as we were having these conversations, it's like, well, who is the champion for literacy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, back when Sly James was in office, you know, he's a big presence, and he really got everybody's attention. He had TV time, started this organization. But when he went away, that punch went away.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've not identified, nor has someone appeared that can really keep us focused. You know, if you were going to talk about the arts, we could name a person. If right. you were going to talk about philanthropy, you can name the people. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about education, historically it's your superintendents. But we've had such a issue with right. that revolving door of superintendents. I think we're all thrilled that Jennifer Collier is in that seat, and her passion is literacy.
Yes.
So I am thrilled that she's where she is and that she's going to put the power of the superintendent's voice behind literacy, but she cannot do this by herself.
Yes.
The other thing that I will say is I think it has to be a groundswell of regular folks, mm-hmm. because I think that the leadership, however you want to define that, well, heck, that's... Here we are.
Right. And unfortunately, when you start creating organizations and bureaucracies get involved and people's mm-hmm. personal ambitions mm-hmm. come along, and then a lot of times the main thing that it was created for gets lost mm-hmm. in, we got to raise money. Uh-huh. And so it's like, mm-hmm. well, what are we raising money for? Mm-hmm. To have another event?
Yeah.
And so, you know, yeah. that's the thing, yeah. You know, that we have to caution against as well,
yeah.
and where folks have to be involved at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And so want to make sure before we get out of here, it's leadtoreadkc.org that folks can, you know, get on the website, find out how to become a reading mentor or how you can support, mm-hmm. and your contact information. I want to mm-hmm. make sure we give that out before we get out of here as well.
Yeah, and you can reach out to me at my name, Terry, T-E-R-R-I, at leadtoreadkc.org. So if you work during the day, you can't be a mentor during the day, still reach out. We have a wonderful person at Lead to Read named Linda Hughes. She's our outreach manager. And she is out in these streets every day trying to find new folks to be part of Lead to Read, or looking for new ways mm-hmm. to connect to families. We we're looking at residential facilities, housing facilities, where moms may be with their children and making sure that they get books
right.
and that they get support so that that experience can continue, even though they may not be in a traditional house setting.
Okay.
But just everywhere that we could turn over rocks and make those connections, we're really trying to do that.
Definitely. And so we are now about 7 minutes before 6 o'clock, so please stay tuned at the top of the hour for Rootswise Reggae with Rock and Donna. And before we get out of here, because we do have a couple of minutes, I did want to touch on, you have some other events coming up with Black Women Get Fit, which I think it's such an awesome organization.
So talk to us
about that as well.
It is so much fun. And for Black History Month, we are having Joanne Collins, who was Mayor Pro Tem in 1974, have a conversation with Mayor Pro Tem Raina Park Shaw, mm-hmm. who is the current Mayor Pro Tem, the only two Black Mayor Pro Tems that have been in Kansas City. So again, 50 years apart, we're going to spend our first hour from 8:30 to 9:30 in conversation with those two women, talking about what has changed, what's different, and really where can the community place hope. Because we've got a lot of challenges.
Yes.
So I'm really looking forward to that. And then the rest of our program will be the traditional workshops.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't seen it, you can go out to Facebook at Black Women Get Fit on Facebook, or you can go to our website, which is blackwomengetfit.org, and get signed up.
Absolutely. And sorry, and what was the date again?
It's Saturday, February 3rd.
Okay.
And it's free.
All right. Okay, cool, yeah. cool. So we are going to get wrapped up. Like I said, this is clearly an ongoing conversation, and we want to have you back anytime you have anything going on that you want to share with the community, and want to encourage everyone that has been listening today to at least go take a look at leadtoreadkc.org. And if not that organization, find an organization, whether it be your church, mm-hmm. Your child's school, your niece, nephew's school, to get involved with attacking this crisis. And so we're going to continue to talk about it here on Changing Narratives. Brother Brown,
yes,
anything
sir.
Before we get up out
Absolutely,
of here?
Absolutely, man. You know, again, starts with those first teachers. Let's just be frank. You know, we want to put a lot of blame, but, you know, that home training comes first.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's where we need to dig in at. That's where we can, you know, let it all hang out.
Yes.
You know, And, you know, we have to understand, too, man, it takes practice. Mm-hmm. We understand if we think our kid can play basketball that they practice 2-3 times a week and we get special coaching.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we don't put that same type of energy into their academics. Mm-hmm. So even, you know, we see it. You know, yeah. We spend a lot of time on what we think is important.
And
academics is not one of those things. So I'm going to start today to now put it on the first teachers, those folks around these kids at home.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And because one thing about it is they are learning by what we place our priorities on.
That's right.
And what we, you know, celebrate. And so very, very important point. We are going to get up out of here. Once again, want to thank you so much for spending
this
time
me.
With us today. Appreciate it. I want to send a shout out to your husband, Lee Barnes. Thank you for allowing her to be here with us today as well.
Gotta
stand up for the husband.
That's right. Nobody.
Exactly. So like I said, please stay tuned at the top of the hour for Rootswise Reggae with Rockin' Donna, and we'll be back with another program next week.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two, 2 takes at a movie currently playing in theaters or streaming. Last summer, the shameless and unapologetically raunchy comedy Joyride was released in theaters, and it can now be viewed on multiple streaming services. Ashley Park, Stephanie Sue, Sherry Cola, and Sabrina Wu play Asian American friends who go on a trip to China where everything goes awry.
Joyride is a bawdy, comic road trip story focusing on Audrey, an Asian young woman adopted by an American couple, and Lolo, an Asian girl raised by her Chinese American parents. Best friends from childhood, Audrey and Lolo go on a trip to Beijing. Audrey is supposedly on business, and Lolo is going for the ride. Two other Asian girlfriends join them, and the fun begins. Sex, drugs, rock and roll. But then the tone shifts to Audrey looking for her birth mother, and an argument upsets the friendship among the four.
It's goofy, energetic, and the cast is very appealing. But Joyride will either bring you joy or loathing, depending on your level of tolerance for the vulgar humor and off-color banter.
The sexual escapades may lead some moviegoers to become uncomfortable.
Joyride is so crude that I had a hard time appreciating its positive aspects. One plus is that it strikes a chord for inclusion in front of and behind the camera. Director Adele Lim and the screenwriters are all Asian American women, arguably an underrepresented group in Hollywood.
The tone shift from comedy to serious life considerations may be disconcerting, but it's an entertaining story, and mostly it's fun.
I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two.